Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Show was previously recorded.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning Live, presented by Yingling Flight and brought to you by the good folks over at Dossett Big Four. I'm Brian. Hey, Dad. Rhino down there in Studio X. You're looking at me right now. You're thinking, he doesn't look like he's in Hattiesburg. Once again, we made an executive decision. I didn't think talking about Mississippi State sports in a packed house of Golden Eagle fans was the best idea. So we will, you see what's going on right here. It's going to be all right. We're brought to you by the good folks over at Yingling Flight, the newest beer from America's oldest brewery. Crisp, refreshing, perfect for these Mississippi game days that are coming up quicker than we can imagine. And the best part is you can have another wing, you can have another rib or another brat, because they're only 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. If you want to enjoy a fantastic beer on game day, make it a Yingling Flight. Dossett Big Four over there in Tupelo. What are you looking for? What new or pre-owned vehicle are you looking for? I know one thing you're looking for. You're looking for a dealership that you can trust. That's Dossett Big Four. 46 years of service to the Tupelo area. 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. You can visit them online at DossettBig4.com. I am a Dossett Big Four customer. You should be one as well. If you're looking for a brand new vehicle or a great pre-owned car, Dossett Big Four is here to help you find that. This time last week, we were sitting out on the patio at Two Brothers Smoked Meats, and we had just spoken to Zach Selman and talked a little bit about uniforms, and the man had a little knowing, a little grin, couldn't have played poker with me. But I saw the tell. When we talked about that interlocking MSU logo and helmet, and he was very, he tried to play it coy. He tried to play it like I didn't know what I was talking about. He 100% knew something was up. 24 hours later, Mississippi State announces that they're going to break out a Snow Bowl commemorative white interlocking helmet. Here we are seven days later, and the maroon helmet is back in the rotation. Now, a lot of people are asking, what does this mean? From what I understand, this is what it means. There are five helmets in the rotation right now. The black helmet, what are they calling it? The dark zone, or I forget exactly what it's called. I think that's a one-off. I think you'll see it once. The talk had been around Arizona State, but they haven't made an announcement on that. And I wonder if they're thinking that through a little bit, because it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot that day. An all-black uniform might not be the way to go. So you have the two state script helmets, and you have the two interlocking helmets, maroon and white. They said they were going to debut the white interlocking at Tennessee. So I don't think you're going to see that first week. I won't be totally surprised if week one is all whites with the white state script. That's what I think is going to happen there. After that, that helmet can be picked anytime. So I'm not going to be surprised if you see it four or five times this year. And it feels kind of like it's set up that next year the script is more of the alternate and the interlocking is the main deal. One thing I want to stress, because I feel like with a lot of this, there's some like, oh, you know, we've won the war and this not over yet and we got to keep fighting. And it feels like, you know, Mississippi State is at war with itself. Well, as a great American once said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. This was a win for Mississippi State fans. By and large, this was the choice of Mississippi State fans. I know social media is not representative of everybody, but when you did polls on social media, on Facebook and on Twitter, that logo won out every time. And then you have, as I've said before, there's a large portion of your family that just doesn't care, but they don't care. So you can do whatever you want. And if you can satisfy the second largest group, then so be it. The group that doesn't like it is a negligible minority. And if that hurts your feelings because you're in that minority, I'm sorry to tell you that, but it is what it is. I think the bigger thing, though, that we have to learn here today is that Zach Selman has done a good job of listening to his fans. We've talked so much on Sports Talk Mississippi and on this show about how the burden, the unfair burden, quite frankly, that fans are required to provide these days in college sports. It's not enough that you're buying tickets. Not enough that you donate to the Bulldog Club or the Loyalty Foundation. It's not enough that you buy memorabilia. It's not enough that you're buying concessions. It's not enough that you support the local industries when you come to the town and you spend money in hotel rooms. Now they're even asking, you've got to pay for the players that you're going to watch play on Saturday. It's an unfair burden on you. And on that being said, you have to put yourself in a position where, what value can I give my customer? Because as much as you and I both know that it's more than a customer-business owner relationship between Mississippi State Sports and you, right? I understand that. There's a much deeper emotional connection than you have with Walmart or McDonald's, right? But even still, there has to be value in this for you. And right now, the value isn't the results on the field. You know, they were 2-10 a season ago. So that's not where the value is coming from. It's got to be from somewhere else. And if this is something that you wanted, that they felt fans wanted, which they did, then giving it to you is the smart move. The LED lights is another example. And there's so many people, and I will do everything I can to fight this mindset, and I hope that you'll fight it with me of, they need to be focused on winning games. Guys, these things are not mutually exclusive. You can have a nice stadium with a great atmosphere. You can have good-looking uniforms and still be focused on winning games. The team isn't doing that. The team isn't taking time out of practice to go install lights. The team isn't taking time out of practice to put stickers on helmets. They got people for that over there at Mississippi State, at Ole Miss, wherever you go. So if you hear somebody like, well, I wish they'd focus, you could do both. As a fan, you're allowed to focus on multiple things. I can focus on uniforms, lights, sound, the team, winning, the food in the stadium, everything. I can do all of those things. So be like that. Your focus can be wide. It can be beyond that. They had to give to the fans. The LED lights is an example of that. I'm going to miss it on Monday because Sports Talk Mississippi is going to be on the road. We'll be in Senatobia, so I can't make it back for this. But they're going to do a give the media a tour of Davis Wade and show them some of the new stuff, and they'll get to see the lights in action. I'm really sad that I'm going to miss out on that, but duty does call. But I think you guys, you know, the first home game, 6 o'clock kick, which means about midway through the second quarter, it's going to be time for those lights to start, you know, showing off what they can do. And I'm very excited to see that. You know, next year it's going to be about the sound system in the stadium. They've got to improve that. To my knowledge, they haven't done anything on that. I could be getting a pleasant surprise, you know, in a couple of weeks. Maybe they have done something. I'm not saying they have. I want to make that very clear before people go like, hey, Dad said, hey, I didn't say anything. I don't know anything on that note for sure. But what I do know is this, that Zach Selman, if you want to use the business model, Zach Selman listens to his shareholders. If you want to use the, you know, the sports model, Zach Selman listens to his fans. However you want to put it, Mississippi State has an athletic director in place right now that is doing a good job of building a kinship between the fans and the university that, quite frankly, has suffered in years past. And there hasn't been that connection that you want it to have between the university and its fans. There's been a lot of, you just kind of take what we give you at times from Mississippi State. Going back 30, 40 years. Going back to the days where they told us that this logo was owned by Nike. What an unbelievable lie that was told to you by the Larry Templeton administration. That imagine that Nike would want to own a Mississippi State logo. It still boggles my mind that people bought into that. So it's back. The interlocking is back. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean, oh, well, now they're going to win 8 games this year? No, it doesn't mean anything like that. But it does mean that in the future, as Mississippi State fans, you know, you have some confidence that your voice is being heard by the administration, that your voice is being heard by the university. And to me, that's a big deal. Because in this day and age of college football, where that school and all schools are asking their fans to do so much, if you've got a school that's asking for a lot and not giving anything back, You have schools that win 11 games, like Georgia could do what they want, right? And it's like, hey, take it or leave it. Mississippi State's got to play by a little different set of rules right now. Now, you hope that you get to a point where it's, you know, hey, we're going to win 11 games with or without you, so show up if you want. But today is a good day for Mississippi State fans because they know they have irrefutable proof that their voice is being heard and that Mississippi State is going to be doing whatever they can to make being a Mississippi State fan a more enjoyable and a more exciting experience. So kudos to Zach Selman and his team. Also, kudos to the MSU media team. Killed it with the videos. Brady Kiker, John Sweeney, my boy Lance Pardue. Great guys over there. They've been doing a fantastic job. You think about where Mississippi State media kind of was with the videos when they let that team go after signing day, which was absolutely deserved by the shambolic performance they put on that day. Since then, these guys have come in and they've done a great job putting out videos and graphics for fans that are enjoyable and cool to watch. All right, when we come back, let's talk some actual football. What happened at Saturday's scrimmage? And what has been the theme that keeps popping up between Jeff Lebby and the media? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi, presented by Yingling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. We'll be right back.
This show was previously recorded.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning Super Talk Mississippi, presented by Yingling Flight, brought to you by the good people over at Dossett Big Four. If you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, Dossett Big Four is the place to go. Serving Northeast Mississippi for 46 years. Nobody stays in business that long unless they know how to take care of their customers. And that's exactly what you're going to get at Dossett Big Four. From the sales team to the service department, these are people who care about you. They care about your business. So if you're looking for a new car or a pre-owned vehicle, I encourage you to go see the good people over at Dossett Big Four. Let's talk some MSU football. Obviously, talk to Jeff Lebby on Saturday. That's our last availability with Lebby until Monday, the 25th, on game week, his first game week press conference. Talked to him after the Saturday scrimmage. There's 2 weeks in a row where the defense has been the what's drawn the most praise. Specifically, I'll get it out eventually. It'll be all right. Specifically, the defensive line. And I think about a year ago and how undermanned that position was, and to where it is now, that it's 2 weeks in a row we're seeing the kind of praise that they've gotten coming out of these scrimmages. I thought one thing Lebby said was very interesting, and if you missed that interview, we had it on Sports Talk Mississippi on Tuesday, so you can go back and check that out. I thought that he talked about they did a 120-play scrimmage. And he said last year we could only do like 80 play scrimmages because they just didn't have the depth to rotate guys in and out and not overwork them at that point. So, I mean, you think about 40 play scrimmage, you know, three scrimmages in the spring, three scrimmages in the fall. It's basically two full games that they didn't get to practice because they just didn't have the depth to do it. This year they have the depth to do it. Like last year, you know, when Calvin Dinkins goes down, they had to bring a guy, Kai McClendon, in and as a true freshman and get in there. You've got to play. This year, Kai McClendon goes down and it's barely a blip on the radar. So the depth of this defense is much different. The depth of the safety room is deep enough that they feel like Isaac Smith is going to play a lot more linebacker than safety this year. Kind of a boxed, inside the box defender. Because they feel really good about Jerron Manning and Tony Mitchell and those guys back there. The cornerback position has also been interesting. You know, we've talked so much about that particular position and talked about how, you know, quite frankly, it's a concern. And you knew that Kelly Jones was going to be one of those guys who played on this at that position. Who was going to be the other guy? And Amarian Jefferson, who they call Jet Jefferson. What a, first off, State has got some elite nicknames this year. Between Flapjack Owens, Jet Jefferson, and Stonka Burnside, that's three of as good as anybody in college football. No, I forgot Fluff Bothwell. That's a Mount Rushmore of elite college nicknames. But Jet Jefferson seems to be the guy who has the most buzz for that second corner position. And camp talk you have to kind of take with a grain of salt, because who are you getting it from? You're getting it from people within the program, right? Well, those people, by and large, aren't going to just come out like, yeah, they're terrible. Their eye is going to be a little less discerning, right? But by and large, the reports on Jefferson have been very positive, and they feel like, hey, he can be a contributor. He can be a good player. I've been saying this for weeks, but Mississippi State's defense doesn't have to be what it was in 2018 or 2014 or anything like that for this team to get where it wants to go back into the postseason. It just has to be better than last year by a large margin, but that could still be bad. State can be way, way improved, but still be bad. But bad would be good, if that makes sense, right? Bad would be good. Last year wasn't bad. Last year was, abysmal, cataclysmic. What's your favorite word to describe the apocalypse? That's what it was. So bad would be a massive jump forward. Now, that's the thing, though. And I don't know if enough fans really understand this, that how big a jump we're talking about. If you're saying, Mississippi State is going to have the, say, 12th best defense in the conference this year, right? Which wouldn't be it's not a good defense by any stretch of the imagination. That would be a 93, if I'm doing the math right, yard jump. 93 yards fewer per game. Think about how big a jump that is. I've said it before, and I've used these stats before. The gap between State and the number 15 defense in the conference last year, which was Florida, is just a fraction under 80 yards per game. The gap between Florida at 15 and Texas at number one, they were the number one yards per game defense, is 87 yards. So the gap between first and 15th is basically as large as the gap between 15th and 16th. So State getting to 13th this year, 12th, would be a massive improvement. You're still not good, but you've improved so much that if you get anything out of your offense, which I'm going to buy in that you will, you're going to be back in a bowl game. And so it's kind of weird, right? It's like we're setting our expectations really low. I don't think I'm setting expectations super high to say, can State have the 7th best offense and the 12th best defense in the conference? I'm not saying they got to be first. I'm not saying they got to be top 5 in both sides. 7th and 12th will get you into a bowl game. And if you think I'm wrong, well, the 12th ranked team last year was Texas A&M. The 11th ranked team last year in defense was LSU. Arkansas was 13th. They were in a bowl. 14th was Vanderbilt. They were in a bowl. 15th was Florida. They were in a bowl. Vanderbilt, one of the biggest outliers, by the way, in college football, because they were 14th in defense and 16th in offense, and yet they somehow still made a bowl game. Crazy how they did that. But I mentioned A&M. A&M was 13th on defense, and they were 8th in offense, and they were an 8-win team. LSU was 5th in offense. They were a 9-win team. I mentioned Florida. Florida was not great offensively at all last year. They were 12th, and they were 14th. Or what were they? Yeah, 15th in defense, but they went to a bowl game. State can get to a bowl game and still not have great numbers. And so that's the kind of the challenging part to accept, that like, we're not asking you to be the best. Just asking you to be, in one spot to be average to above average, and then the other one you can be somewhere between mediocre and below average, and that's going to be good enough. Can you get there? And that's the question we have to ask Mississippi State this year, is can you get there? Defensively, the depth is much better. Defensively, they have quality depth at 3 out of the 4 positions. I still don't trust the depth at the cornerback position. And I don't totally trust the starters until I see them play, right? But I know at the defensive line, at the linebacker, at the safety position, you're much better than you were a year ago. You got guys who can play. You got guys who can play SEC football. Offensively, the offensive line is a question mark, right? You got two guys who are probably going to start who weren't here for the spring. You got a room full of receivers who really haven't done anything at the college level yet. And you got a quarterback who, you know, despite his talent, has never been able to stay healthy. You got a great running back room. So my guess is, and I saw this on a message board, that, you know, State has now has the fourth biggest offensive line on average in college football. They're going to mash ahead, man. This is going to be a very run-heavy offense this year. Very run-heavy, I think. 60-65% on the ground. But if you can move the ball doing that, if a friend of mine sent me a text. He said, what State has to be more consistent is third and short. They got to be able to move the chains without having to get 20, 25 yards. It's great to get these explosive plays, but you just got to know that on third and two, you can get line up, get 3 yards, and move the chains and keep the drive alive. State couldn't do that at times last year, especially early in the season. They got to be better at that this year. It's a small jump within a big jump, or maybe it's a big jump within a small jump. It's going from the worst to, they're just not that great. They're not great. They're bad. And offensively, it's going from they're bad to they're okay. You don't have to be elite to go to a bowl game. Now, do you have to be elite to play in the college football playoff to win national championships? State's not there yet, so there's no point in looking at that. There's no point in getting upset that they're not going to be elite. Don't be one of those fans who's like, if they're not, you know, one of the bowl games don't mean anything. Bowl games don't mean anything right up until you're not in one. Tell me that last year you would not have preferred to be 6-6 and playing in the Birmingham Bowl compared to what actually happened at Mississippi State. That's all that I'm going to say about that. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about Blake Shapen and how he's going to be putting the ball in the air. And speaking of the air, game day is almost here. We've got college football this weekend. If you're at the game tailgating or if you're just sitting on the couch, enjoy a cold flight by Yingling. It's the perfect light beer for those Mississippi game days. It's clean and crisp. It's refreshing. Best of all, it's just 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. You can enjoy the tailgate spread, and you can enjoy a flight by Yingling. Enjoy responsibly, flight by Yingling. Thunder and Lightning will be right back after this.
Show was previously recorded.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Back here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you on a Wednesday evening. We are presented by Yingling Flight and brought to you by DOS at Big Four. As I've been saying, man, these game days, we're here. This is the start of college football. I hope that you will enjoy an ice-cold flight by Yingling this weekend and every college football weekend. We're going to give you a chance to win some great prizes here at Sports Talk Mississippi. Starting next week, you'll text us on the CSpire text line, or you can tweet at us at Sports Talk Miss, and show us your photos from game day enjoying an ice-cold Yingling flight. And, buddy, we're going to have some great gear for you. America's newest light beer from America's oldest brewery, Flight by Yingling. Blake Shapen hopes to take flight this season. So we were just going through some numbers from last year. Here's some numbers from the offensive side of the ball. As a team, and really between two guys, between Michael Van Buren and Blake Shapen, Mississippi State last year threw for 2,871 yards, completing 58.4% of the passes, 19 touchdowns to 8 picks. Now, Shapen was completing 68.5% when he went down with injury. Van Buren only completed 54.7%. So my thought process is this. I'm going to try to extrapolate here. If you see some smoke coming out of my ears, it's because I'm doing math. Obviously, you know, getting into SEC play, Shapen would not have stayed at a 69% clip. Nice. On completion percentage. But he probably only drops down to like 61, 62%. So if State completes 3% more of its passes last year, we're probably talking about 3,100, 3,200 yards passing. Chapin probably eight interceptions is not a lot. I'm not gonna say too much about that, but probably throws three or four more touchdowns. So 22 touchdowns to eight interceptions, 3,000 yards, 3,100 yards passing. That's a solid year. So if you know, obviously with Chapin, we start and everything kind of revolves around the can he stay healthy thing. So we're just going to assume that has to be a given at this point, right? We're going to give him 12 games in this scenario. With the guys he has around him, with a running game that should be better from day one. Remember last year, the biggest reason State lost to Arizona State and to Toledo was that they could not run the football in those games. I think they ran for a combined 90 yards in those two games. You can't have that against, especially against a Big 12 and a MAC team. You know, it's crazy that State's best running games came later in the season as they got into the heart of SEC play. But they couldn't run the ball those first few weeks. So I think State's going to be much better at running the football this time around than they were a season ago in the early part of the season. Chapin should be around between 3,000 and 3,300 yards passing. He should be between 23 and 28 touchdowns. Hopefully he keeps the interceptions under 10, but probably no more than 12. Every scrimmage report I've gotten from about Chapin is that, you know, he values the football. He's not making unnecessary turnovers. Now, sometimes you hear that and your mind goes to, oh, he's a game manager. And I feel like game manager is one of the worst labels you can give a quarterback these days. And I think quarterbacks tell you that. They're like, look, being a game manager is part of being a quarterback. Yeah, you want to be able to take some chances, but by and large, you don't want to give games away. As Trent Dilfer once famously said, you cannot lose football games and win in the NFL. It's true in college football as well. True in high school football too, just for the record. It's true in Pee Wee now that I think about it. So for Chapin, being careful with the ball, Chapin touchdown interception before he went down with injury was 8-1. So, I mean, he was on pace to be, you know, 32-4. Honestly, State probably has a couple more wins. If, you know, I think of one right off the top of my head. Think about the Egg Bowl and those crushing interceptions that Van Buren threw in that game. Huge reason why State didn't get the win was some turnovers. Now, part of that, obviously, is that Ole Miss's defense was elite last year, but State gave them the ball unnecessarily last year. I don't know if Chapin does that. So, a healthy Chapin isn't holding Mississippi State back. In my opinion, a healthy Chapin is what pushes Mississippi State forward. A veteran quarterback, he's got the arm strength, he's got the mobility. You need less from him in the running game than you probably would think. You know, last year, and we've pointed it out before, you know, when this offense was really humming at Ole Miss with Lebby, Corral was such a huge part of the running game. I don't think you can have that this year. I don't think you can count on Chapin to rush for even 200 or 300 yards. He needs to be hand the ball off. You got a fleet of running backs back there between Booth, Daniels, Bothwell, Xavier Gayton, and the seemingly resurgent Seth Davis. No need for Chapin to put himself at risk like that. But again, I still have these questions that I've talked about before that can he change the way he plays? You know, the way I do this show, the way I talk on the radio, this is just, that's my natural way of doing things. And if somebody said, hey, you got to completely change, it would be nearly impossible to do. It would certainly be noticeable, and I think it would be bad, to be honest with you. So when we're talking about Chapin going to change the way he plays, my radar goes up on that and go, is that really what you want? Is that really what's going to happen when the whistle blows? He's going to be able to turn it off and change the way he's been doing things his whole life? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But what I do know is this. Jeff Lebby's offense is designed for quarterbacks to be successful. It's designed for receivers to be successful. It's designed for running backs to be successful. It's a easy to grasp but hard to defend offense at its best. And if you're an Ole Miss fan, you've seen that. You've seen that this offense gets receivers wide open. It creates massive lanes in the running game. It provides a guy like Matt Corral the impetus to be an all-SEC quarterback. It provided the impetus for Dylan Gabriel to be an all-Big 12 quarterback. provided the impetus for Mackenzie Milton to be an all, I guess, American Athletic Conference quarterback. All right. And it's got the Chapin probably not going to be the all SEC quarterback, but can have a great season if he stays healthy and he does what this offense is capable of doing. Offensive line's a huge question mark, as I mentioned. Huge may not be the right word. Because, I think they're going to be run heavy this year. And I think that, you know, this group, averaging 330-plus pounds per man across the front five, is going to be able, especially in the early going, right? You got to think they're going to have a massive strength and size advantage on Southern Mississippi, on Arizona State even, certainly on Alcorn and Northern Illinois. And so maybe they can get some momentum going so that when they enter SEC play, they're playing on a high. I don't know. But that's the thing with all of this. We're at the point now where like the talking is kind of done, right? We're 11 days, by the way, we're 10 days out, I'm sorry, 10 days out from the start of the college football season. I like to reiterate that one more time, 10 days before the start of Mississippi State season. We are 3 days from the start of the college football season, which is just a glorious thing to say, and I know it's also a glorious thing for you guys to hear. So I feel like Chapin, Borky mentioned this on Sports Talk yesterday, like nobody's talking about Chapin. Now, part of that is because he's the quarterback of a 2-10 team who only played 4 games last year and has a reputation for being injury prone. Those are reasons people won't talk about you. But underneath the surface, if you dig a little deeper and you look at what a best-case scenario is, and it's definitely a best-case scenario. It's not, for one second, like what you expect or what the averages are going to play out. The best-case scenario is for Blake Chapin to be a really good quarterback for Mississippi State this year and to set the table for some success. And again, going back to what we just said earlier, it's not about being elite. It's not about being one of the best in the country. It's just this offense is average. Just average. There are 16 teams in the SEC. If this offense finishes between 7-9 and the defense finishes between, I would say, 12-15, here's the truth. And maybe you don't think about this. They could finish 16th again. But as long as they're within 10 yards of 15th and not 80 yards of 15th, if you're a 7th, 8th offense with that defense, you got a great chance to win 6. Winning 6, as much as, you know, I understand that you don't want to hear that sometimes because you see Ole Miss win. What am I doing here? See Ole Miss winning 8 or 9 games, and you're like, you know. State's building back to that. I believe that Lebby can be that guy. I believe that he can be a coach that elevates this program and gets it back where it was. It's a process. It really is. And in this day and age of college football, I know I've said that phrase a lot, you don't expect there to be processes as much because you can just go into the portal. It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And I think Lebby's doing as good a job as can be expected, but they got to get results this year. You got to be better. You got to win more games here at Mississippi State if you want to continue to be the coach at Mississippi State. I think the pieces are in place to be better. How much better, I don't know. I will say this. You're talking to a guy who predicted a 4-8 season, so my expectations are low. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. We'll see. All right. We're going to wrap things up with you here on Thunder and Lightning when we come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the coming days of college football season. Plus, we got something else I want to say before we get out of here. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live, presented by Dossett Big Four. I'm sorry, presented by Yuengling Flight, brought to you by Dossett Big Four. We'll wrap things up with you when we come back.
Hey, this is Bob, and if you're like me,
this show was previously recorded.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
All right, let's wrap things up here on a Wednesday night. Thunder and Lightning Live, presented by Yuengling Flight, brought to you by Dotson Big Four. Are you in the market for a new car, a pre-owned car? Guys, I can't give a bigger seal of approval than to the good people at Dotson Big Four. My wife's car from Dotson Big Four, she loves that car. She loved the experience we had. From the service department to the salesman to everybody in between, they know how to take care of you at Dotson Big Four. They've been doing it for 46 years. Nobody's staying in business that long unless they know how to take care of their customers. Go see them today. Dotson Big Four, 628 South Gloucester Street, or visit them online, DotsonBig4.com. I said that's something I wanted to say. Something on my mind. Something I want to get off my chest. First and foremost, thank you to Rhino for bringing us through another easy evening here. He's taken the ship and steered us back into calm waters. But I got another thank you to pass along, and that's to you guys out there. All right? Think about, you know, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Southern Mississippi, all of the baseball season ended prematurely. Everybody out in the regional rounds. Nobody wanted that, but that's what happened. So we had to, you know, get through, what, most of June, all of July, and here we are into August, finally here at the start of college football. And we just kind of had to make our way. And I want to tell you that, you know, I see the interaction on the C Spire text line. I see it on social media. I love seeing it on message boards. Heard this on Sports Talk Mississippi. Love hearing that. You know, Thunder and Lightning, the podcast, the numbers have been fantastic. My buddy Robbie Falk, his new show, Talking Dogs, that's available here on WKBB 100.9, is doing really well. If you have not checked that show out yet, Wednesdays it airs at 10 o'clock a.m. You can catch it on 100.9, or if you have the Super Talk app, you can certainly listen to it there as well. You guys have been a big part of that, and that's why we have been trying this summer. You know, we've had these stops on the Not Fall Camp Tour to get you guys some awesome Genteel gear and these prize packages from Pearl River Resort, and that's why going forward with Yuengling Flight, we're going to be doing some prize packages with them. We want to take care of you guys, and, you know, we appreciate you very, very much. Love hearing from you guys. Love seeing you on the road. Great crowds in Oxford, in Starkville, and in Hattiesburg for this tour. It's just been a blast. And so we got to here, but that's the thing. We got here. We're here. It's football season now. There's football this weekend. There's college football. Real games, not exhibition, not the NFL preseason. Real live college football. Top 25 matchup. Saturday, 11 a.m. We're here. And then next week, Mississippi State at Southern Mississippi. Ole Miss hosting Georgia State. We've got Alabama, Florida State. We've got LSU, Clemson. We got Texas and Ohio State. We got Syracuse and Tennessee. We've got Notre Dame and Miami. We've got South Carolina and Virginia Tech. We got real games. It's here. We got through this. We did it together. We worked as a team. We pulled the rope in the same direction. The chain was strong, even at its weakest link. What cliche do you want me to use? I'll use it right now. I'm just saying that college football is here. We are back. And, you know, you think about next week. Think about where we're going to be next week on this show. We're going to be talking about a game. I'm going to be telling you what Jeff Lebby told us in the press conference about Southern Mississippi. We're going to be looking at that game. We're going to be breaking down matchups. We're going to probably be talking to somebody about Southern Mississippi from Southern Mississippi that they can give us some insight. Oh, that's next week. That's 7 days from now. 6 days and 23 hours, if you want to be specific. We did it. And, you know, this is, I love college football. I know that you guys are big college football lovers as well. And so these months are lean, you know. I like college basketball, don't get me wrong. Like college baseball, but They're playing for second all the time. College football is obviously the love of my life, outside of my wife and children, of course. That's, you know, and my mother. Mom's number one. Mom should be number one. I'm just saying. We made it. We did it. We got here. And glad you guys took the ride with us this summer. And it's going to be a great ride this fall. I know we're not at fall yet, but you see what I'm saying. This college football season, I can't wait. And I'm looking forward to it. So tomorrow on Thunder and Lightning, the podcast, we got an interview with Brad Denny from Speak of the Devil podcast, previewing Arizona State. We're 1 week out from the first game. That means we got one game left to preview before we get to game week. Plus, we'll have a lot more to talk about. We'll talk some more uniform stuff. We didn't get that on Wednesday's podcast, so we're looking forward to that. Guys, I appreciate you, and we thank you very much, everybody who came out and was part of the Not Fall Camp Tour. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning Live, presented by Yuengling Flight and brought to you by Dossett Big Four. When we meet again next week at this time, it's on. The college football season will be here. Talk to you guys again soon.
Listen and watch all your favorite Super Talk Mississippi shows live and on demand. Listen to tons of music. Plus, get the latest breaking news from across the state with the Super Talk Mississippi app. The Super Talk Mississippi app. Download the Super Talk app on your iPhone or Android device now for free. Just search Super Talk Mississippi in your app store on your mobile device to get everything Mississippi all in one place. The Super Talk Mississippi app. Get it now. Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.